get started. Herbie, you want to start us off with the
pledge? I would be honored to do so, sir. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to connect to Ulster.
You changed something with your internet here, didn't you?
Me?
No.
So, I did quickly want to go into a quick, limited executive session just to talk about some things that we started to talk about last time. I think it will be 5 or 10 minutes, but I think it would be valuable for the people of this committee, the members of this committee, to go over some things that have already come out of this. We're doing this policy in many ways to save money, to create a level playing field with all county workers, to limit take-home vehicles that aren't needed, to come up with a process for purchasing vehicles, oversight of these vehicles, and I think this committee has already come across some things that resulted in things, and I'm talking very generically, but if we're going to put a policy together, surely it would benefit us to hear about some things that have already happened over the last month or two with take-home vehicles. So I will make a motion to go to executive session with the members of this committee.
Point of order?
What's that?
Point of order? I don't think I've heard yet a justification under open meetings law that would...
We're going to be talking about personnel issues. We were already told by our attorney last time if we continue any further with the discussion we were having, it should probably be an executive session.
Didn't say up until now. And can you explain your justification for not inviting other members of the legislature outside the committee to stay for the executive session?
I have some ethical concerns, but I'll add any legislator on that's here that's not on the committee. I usually do that. I've always believed in that, and I'll leave my concerns out. I would also ask that Deputy Executive Laval stay, the fleet manager, and obviously Natalie. I don't know if anyone else would like to stay.
Just legal counsel.
Absolutely, yes. Great, Chris.
Huh.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Take it easy.
Security.
See you soon.
I don't have one.
I thought there was. Isn't it Ulster 2017?
Am I allowed to share an interesting conversation with that?
No.
I will.
I didn't find it again.
Do we have to put the time down?
I know.
5:59?
Natalie
will do it.
I found
it. Oh, they respect it, because you can hear right through that door, so.
Okay.
As soon as they heard us get ready to go, they all ran out the hallway.
I'll state for the record that no decisions or votes were taken during the executive session.
Okay, whatever you're going to vote on.
In the record?
Yes. Right to the union thing. No.
So, you can't say that acronym anymore either.
Why? Inappropriate.
Pronounce it different.
Tufted titmouse.
Named after a bird. Something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or tight rod.
Okay, we're back. No, oh.
When did I ask?
Oh.
The I is
the
line.
Oh, the minute.
It does.
Can you just give a motion the minutes for me, Aaron?
I'm going to make a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting of the Fleet Manager Review Committee. October 22nd.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're passing that around. All right. We're back. Let's jump in. And let's just start off with the conversation that the biggest part of last meeting had to do with as we come up with a policy that kind of has a standard for a take-home vehicle, as we, if when we recodify this new policy, the old policy was not followed. There are legal arguments that it didn't need to be followed because it was had too much pre-charter language. That being said, had it been followed, we wouldn't have a lot of the take-home vehicles that were that this policy will be more or less recommending aren't there by the standard that we've set forward in the policy. What do we do with the vehicles that exist? We've gotten arguments about past practice and being part of a salary, even though it was not mentioned in any union negotiations that we've seen, or certainly in the contract. It's not uniform in any way. The vehicles aren't uniform. The times that these vehicles came about aren't uniform. Many of the titles are not uniform, which would probably make it tougher to win a case if there was a lawsuit. That being said, there most certainly could be a lawsuit. So how do we go about passing this policy, basically mandating some of these vehicles are now going to be day-to-day fleet vehicles and not necessarily take-home vehicles? And we've had some different angles. Talking to a lot of different people, including lawyers, the cleanest way to do this is during union negotiations for them to take into account and treat it as if it was a small part of their pay, even though, like I said, there's no record of that. And then the vehicles are done. They're not done. They're being used by everybody. And do we desperately need vehicles, both at many different offices and departments, but especially over at DPW, where I think a lot of the vehicles that we see not kind of living up to what the former policy and the new policy would require, those negotiations are starting soon. And that's probably the easiest legal way. Yeah, Herb?
Well, I'm going to say this policy already does that.
Yep.
The effective date is 10 days after approval, which means on day 11, everybody has to comply with this policy.
Yes.
So if, and then it states further in here that, you know, the department head is the one that picks or at least recommends who gets it, who doesn't get it, and then the employee has to back up the reasons by which they are due a take-home vehicle. So that process starts 10 days after this gets passed by the legislature.
But what was brought up is the possibility of a lawsuit. If we go ahead and pass this policy the way it is,
mm-hmm.
and those vehicles cease to exist because they don't qualify and they're not up to the standard that we've set mm-hmm. forth in the policy, then we could end up being sued by individuals that formerly had take-home vehicles. I'm on the record saying I don't think they would sue and I don't think they'd win the lawsuit. You've talked about how the state was able to do this with no lawsuits.
Yeah.
But
I don't see this any different than any other law we pass. You know, we say, okay, as of such and such a date, we're going to increase the property tax on your next, on the bill. I mean, if somebody comes in and says, geez, I can't pay that, so I'm not going to do it. No, it's a law right here. This, from here on, this is the law. This is what maybe you did before, but this is the law.
The problem is,
and if they come with a lawsuit, it says in a policy, the employee has to justify their reasoning for the use of the vehicle. And I don't know of any court that's going to say, well, they let me use it before, so I'm going to keep using it.
So you're arguing that they would probably lose the lawsuit, which I agree, but there could be a lawsuit. That's the point that's made. Any lawyer you talk to, including this one right over here, will tell you there could certainly be a lawsuit, and there has been a handful of successful lawsuits in the past. I think their cases were stronger, but it was similar. It was about taking, it was literally, I think quite specifically, about what we're doing, taking away take-home vehicles. I think it may have been those successful lawsuits probably had more evidence of it being a uniform way to pay, counteract. They were literally negotiating with the take-home vehicle as part of their pay. They openly may have talked about it. And so once you took them away, you were violating the union contract. Since it's not in the contract, it comes down to past practice.
Exactly.
But there could be a lawsuit. Herb, if you're comfortable moving forward, so am I.
The state of New York did it.
Yeah.
The Thruway Authority did it, and not only did they do it, I mean, they were going for a toll increase, they just said effective such and such a date, nobody takes a car home. Done. Period.
What is everybody else? You're on the record there. I agree. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 other members of this committee here, which will be voting on this to recommend to the rest of the legislature. What do you all think about how to go forward with the take-home vehicles that we would, in theory, be taking away, possibly?
I think we have a strong policy, and if it's followed, then it would be a cleaner fleet.
Yes, but how do we, with the question, this is specifically a discussion we're having about the question of the threat or the reality of a possible lawsuit over somebody from DPW that gets a truck taken away, saying, look, that was part of my pay, I'm going to sue you. It would be a small amount of money, ultimately, if I believe, because this, we have a standard, I think it's $5 a day, $15 a day, something like that. That day on your you claim on your taxes,
free.
That would be probably the
it's minimal.
It's minimal, but it adds up to a.
It was $3 a day.
It adds up to a couple of bucks. I don't necessarily think there would be a lawsuit if the committee is saying let's move forward. We don't believe it was ever truly a part of their pay, and if it was, then the executive and the unions can feel free to negotiate that into those titles.
That's where I would fall down on it. I think that we proceed, and if that situation arises, we deal with it when that situation arises.
Okay.
And I would say, so, you know, my understanding of what we're trying to accomplish with this is that if, so these vehicles that we're potentially looking at you know, removing as take-home, those that are going to be potentially taken away, they're going to be fleet vehicles, correct? And I mean, so we're still going to own the vehicles.
We're still going to have the vehicles. They'll just be not going home.
Assigned to a person for take home. And so, if there is a lawsuit, which I tend to agree with Herb, I don't think it would be something that somebody would have legitimate standing on. I don't think it would be successful. But I mean, if it was, it's not as if the county is giving up the vehicle. You know, we're not selling the vehicle. So theoretically, if somebody were to sue and, you know, try to get their car back because claiming that it was part of benefits and our salary package, then it shouldn't be too much of an issue to be able to rectify it with getting, you know, the vehicle back to, you know, somebody after the resolution of a lawsuit. So I don't, logistically, I don't really see how there's too much of an issue with us going forward with this because... you know, we're still going to own the vehicles, and I don't think that there's going to be you know, standing for anybody to sue on it. But if that ultimately comes to bear, then again, it shouldn't be too much of a logistical hassle to, you know, rectify the situation by transferring the vehicle back to the employee.
All right.
That's not the only remedy.
I'll hold on for 1 second.
No.
Before we go any further, and I would normally ask, I mean, we've talked to we have had a lot of opinion from, I think Jim Farina has come and spoken the case, but do you have any family members that have taken vehicles in DPW?
I do.
Okay, so let's just leave it out.
Excuse me.
You negotiated a contract that gave your son a $7 raise and half the people in his specific raise, which we can talk to legal on whether or not somebody could file a lawsuit about that.
Sure.
So I really don't think you need to be interrupting a legislative committee. I'm going to ask you to leave in a moment, okay? I find it to be an ethical problem and a conflict for you to be here fighting for a take-home vehicle that a handful of people may lose. That's literally your son.
So if
you're going to interrupt,
it barely impacts him, Joe. It barely impacts him.
Okay.
Barely
that's
not about him.
That's your piece. Whether you negotiating a contract that
not
specifically gives your son that almost no one else got in the county is such a problem.
Well, you know,
and then for you to come into this meeting and want to fight for these people.
You represent an area that you don't live in, but anyway.
I'm going to ask you to leave.
No, that's.
I'm going to ask you to leave the meeting.
I mean, if you're going to make it personal, we can make it personal, Joe. It's a public meeting. I'm here.
I'm going to ask you to leave the meeting. If you're refusing to leave the meeting, that's fine. Refuse to leave the meeting. But I think you're out of line. I think you're completely inappropriate, and I think it was fair for you not to comment on this specific topic with your conflicts. And I will ask you not to interrupt anymore.
I will not interrupt anymore.
I think we can. Would you like to do a vote? Do you think we need to vote on that, or we could just move on?
Well, before you vote.
Yeah, I'd like to.
I went down through the list. I mean, a long time ago when we first started this. And I really think that what you're talking about is more of an exception than it would ever be the rule. Most of the vehicles that I see, and I've gone through the list, are going to remain as take-home vehicles. You're probably only going to have a handful that will get taken away from some individuals that probably shouldn't have had them in the first place. So if a lawsuit did come, it's only going to come by a few individuals, and we have a policy. This is law. I don't know how a court would say all these other people have to follow the law, but these three or four people that are contesting it don't have to follow the law. No, they're going to say there's a policy, there was an existing policy, whether it was being followed or not. I really don't see it. I see it as an exception rather than the rule. So, I mean, I think the policy is good. I think there's things that need to be revised. We'll get to that, I'm sure, in a little bit.
And I agree with the statements, too. I know you had mentioned phasing it in, but I think that would acknowledge that we are agreeing with a policy that hasn't been followed, because it really hasn't. If you look at a lot of the call-ins, I mean, they don't meet the 12 quarterly for the most part. You know, and rather than worry about a lawsuit, because you can sue for anything, as you well know, you know, we should take a look at, you know, if the union chooses to negotiate and include this, you know, as part of a salary or a fringe benefit, that would also, I believe, you know, take precedent over our policy, so that union negotiation, I believe, would overrule that part of the policy. So if there's additional, you know, if they feel that the second in command should each have a vehicle, and we do have a very large county, because I made a couple of phone calls too, and there's some folks that are in the southern end of the county that if there was, you know, a call made, that they could report there and then call their supervisor and say, I can put a cone there, or I'm going to need to call in the crew. But so it would go by job title. But I think we should move forward with it. And it's not going to get approved until January or February. And I think then you're going to have a whole new cycle of resubmissions, you know, so that they can reapprove the take-home vehicles as well. So it's all going to fall into place.
Go ahead, Herb.
No, I was just going to say, the whole purpose of this policy is that people take home a vehicle for what reason? To benefit the county.
Right.
If it's not a benefit of the county, they shouldn't have the vehicle. It's not for the benefit of the individual, it's for the benefit of the county. So any lawsuit that comes up, they're going to have to answer that question. By you taking home a vehicle, how does it benefit the county? So
agreed. So the let
and,
so
and, it, and if in fact we do phase it in, mm-hmm. Well then we got to change 1.1.
So.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we don't want to, and we don't want to phase it in.
No, I think.
But it's going to take several months for this to go through. So, I mean, anyone who understands that they're not eligible for this vehicle will have time to get themselves their own vehicle or another means of transportation, perhaps our public transportation system.
I'd be very surprised if there's a single employee that doesn't have a another vehicle, and they're only supposed to be using these take-home vehicles for work. So, and they will have time. The last thing to deal with with regards to this part of the policy and topic would be an exception for certain employees We have not gotten very far into the Sheriff's Department. I'm going to talk to them quickly after the meeting. We did get a list tonight, and a lot of the people that are going to be affected by this policy aren't going to be affected by this policy are on this list. So I think we can cut 75-80% of this list down and then have a conversation. The Sheriff's Department, I think more than anybody, but not only the Sheriff's Department, but them more than anyone have, you know, everything from vests to dogs to guns and what, you know. So I think there's an aspect of some of these vehicles when it comes to equipment, that is definitely a legitimate consideration when you start talking about what it would take for them to respond, even if it's only a couple of times a year. But you're talking about if there's a sign down, you know, a stop sign knockdown, surely that's and the sign crew over at DPW has to go out and fix a sign or evaluate a sign being down. That's a little different than you know, a call on the river for that needs a rescue. So I think the Sheriff's Department is going to be affected less, but I do think there's a conversation to be had about a couple of positions and take-home vehicles and certain aspects of things. So, but there are a couple of people in DPW in particular that may, I think we talked about it, there's a couple of, is it tire the take-home mm-hmm. trucks that have the mechanics tools on it.
Mm.
There's only a couple of them. I think that's a possibly a conversation to be had about those exemptions and how do we go about having exemptions, how often do we check. Things change at times, but how do we deal with that in this policy as far as the handful of those vehicles that would normally be taken away, but because of equipment and other considerations might be left in, even though their call-out number does not necessarily financially benefit the county, but there's benefits in other ways and things to consider.
I think it's already in.
I think we do have, but do we have the specific titles, Natalie?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think we have the specific titles.
But we do have what the exception would be, and that's what the fleet manager is going to use when they're handing out take-home vehicles or not. If it's in the policy,
that's why I'd
it's
like
up to the fleet manager to make that decision.
Yeah. I don't think we were looking to have that kind of discretion. I think we were looking to be a little more specific or have some process to it with a little more oversight from either the legislature or somewhere else. Before next, we only have one or two more meetings, and we've gotten through, I'd say we're about 80% there. We got to have a good meeting with the DA and the Sheriff's Office. I bounced some ideas around with the Sheriff's Office about some interesting ways to create some transparency and oversight that we can all live with and they can live with. That'll be, I think our next big meeting will be basically going over the DA and the sheriff. But in the meantime, can I get from anybody here, do we have the DA's office here?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Any considerations for specific titles because of equipment or whatever else, a dog, whatever, different, that things that would be in the vehicle that even though there's not a lot of call-outs necessarily and the financial analysis does not justify the vehicle, that the amount and types of equipment and tools that are kept in the vehicles need to be taken into consideration and written into the policy. That can be reviewed every year, but I'd like to write it in under title, and it can always be amended going into the future as titles that will be exempted from the financial or number of call-out requirement that we have in the policy. So can everybody just email any titles and the types of equipment and things that would be in these vehicles so we could take them into consideration in the next meeting and kind of write those titles into the policy that we decide or make sense, and I think a lot of them will make sense. The last thing I'd like to say is I'm going to be requesting of the fleet manager from the executive side just some clarification. We did have some typos in the spreadsheet that we got on certain years of vehicles, and I think I'm gonna request the controller maybe take a quick look. We may need VIN numbers and surplus dates just to check on some of these vehicles and try to get a feel for the average life of the vehicles and make sure there were no new vehicles over the last 10 or 12 years, you know, being sold off. And that's something that concerned me when I saw a specific, just one, everything was accurate except for one part of that. I think I'd like to take a little bit of a deeper dive there for the committee before we end this. And it may bring up a topic that we want to further look into or mention in the policy. So I'll be sending out a request for some specific, you know, maybe we could, I don't know if the software will be help with that, or whether it would be purchasing or wherever we would need to get that information from, to take a little bit of a deeper dive there into our how we go about selling off these vehicles at the end of their life. So we got through the biggest question there. I think let's quickly go over some dates and times that work for everybody for the next meeting or two. I think we're going to focus on a couple of last things. Anybody, Herb, you go through and you found some little more T's and I's more than anything.
There's some inconsistencies.
Yeah. So everybody take a look at that. Those are quick things we can go through next meeting.
Send them to me.
Send them to Natalie. She'll line them all up so we can further edit. But then we're going to try to get to, I think there's going to be a lot of exemptions for certainly the Sheriff's Department and the DA and the 911.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be the focus of our the next meeting, which will be just about the last, maybe one more after that, and then we'll be handing it off. Any dates?
I have a couple evenings highlighted. So we could do in the evening on December 11th. It's a Wednesday.
I'm not here.
What is it? December 11th. It's a Wednesday. It is.
What's it says? Is that Tuesday? Man, I'm not going to be here.
What about a daytime meeting on Monday the 2nd?
Daytime, like 4 o'clock?
No, like 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. I'm good.
Oh.
On the 2nd?
Yeah.
I'll make any date work.
Yeah, that
whatever works for everybody.
Could the sheriff and the DA's office make that work?
Yeah. I can't.
You cannot?
No. He oversees.
Okay.
We could.
I can follow up with everyone.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work just for the DA, I mean, we could focus on
the sheriff.
The sheriff.
Okay. Do you want to just move forward with that for now then? 1 p.m. on the 2nd?
Was there any other dates that.
Let's see.
I can't think of it.
Do you have enough?
Yep.
I mean, really, that whole week we could do, not the 4th, we have budget stuff on the 4th, but the 3rd we could do during the day, or the 5th we could do during the day.
Chris, you have a energy environment on Tuesday, right?
Right, at 4:30.
So we could do it before that.
Mm-hmm.
That would work.
Yeah, because you're here already.
Did you want to do it a little later? Do you want to do 2 or?
Like 3 would be good. Because then we can go straight into environment.
Yep.
So the 3rd, December 3rd at 3 p.m.?
Mm-hmm.
That works.
An hour and a half.
I think we can.
Yeah. That works for the sheriff?
Is that what we're picking?
Yeah.
Is that
3 p.m.?
Yeah, on the 3rd.
I'll
be on
economic development.
3 o'clock.
I can see.
Aaron, did you say we have economic development? That's it?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody want to? Anybody have anything else before we go?
Yeah, I'm looking at the. This law is, it's not really comprehensive. It's really hard to read. And I don't know if there's a way to clean it up a little bit better without taking away from it. I would like to. I know it's policy, but I don't see any disciplinary action listed in here. So, and I'm just looking through the employee benefits right now about use of vehicles, but I think I'd like to see that in this law as well.
Didn't we kind of touch on that in the middle of the meeting, where it would be discipline is an act of personnel, HR.
A lot of it's
written into, if it's management. I mean, if you're talking about management titles with take homes, there may be some room there. Chris just left, but when it comes to unions, we'd be stepping all over negotiated processes for discipline. And if it's a crime what they're doing with the vehicle, then we already have laws on the books that you can take to the DA's office or the sheriff's office, whatever, you know. So, Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, there's two points that I think speak to your point. I think that, you know, how I've been envisioning this is that, you know, the policy comes from the legislature. We would have, and we drafted a version of it, a several-page form, which would be signed off by the employee on whatever the time period is that you determine is the right one for the review. In that, they'll have to provide information that can then verify that the kind of the type of vehicle and the type of use that goes to being able to be directly provided to payroll and finance in order to make sure that portion of the record keeping is proper. I certainly see that in that sign-off by the employee, right, that they would be reminded that, you know, there are different systems which will be monitored on this vehicle, as well as the intent of take-home vehicles, which are meant to serve the county, what's acceptable use and what isn't, and reminding them that failing to follow these, you know, rules will, you know, can result in progressive disciplinary action.
Could we get a copy of that? You're working, that's a new procedure, or?
I thought we had shared it, but.
Did we get that?
Or maybe.
Is it not, is it in the other version of yours?
We can take care of that easily. Under 7.2.2, we have to provide a copy of the policy procedures, all that to the employee. And even in my current position, not only at the state, the Thruway, but for the company I work for now, I have to sign off that I received it and I understand it.
Right.
That's kind of what.
But you can put it in this policy.
That's why I'd like to see it, maybe.
But I would respectfully advise against a 20-page policy being what's handed over. I think that there's kind of, you can have the long form policy, but I think that if you have three or four pages which says, you know, this is the intent around the circumstances in which you believe the take-home vehicles, the county has kind of authorized the use of take-home vehicles, doing this as a privilege, laying out some of the information that's kind of stuck in kind of, you know, a line here, a line there, a line there, kind of make it a narrative paragraph, then have them, you know, have to check off, and their supervisor, their department head, sign off on what the use of the vehicle is. It's kind of a distinct package that then provides exactly the information that we need to go to finance and allows us to route it.
So you're saying it's more an interdepartmental procedure of day-to-day operations that you would be using?
So that's where, you know, looking at this again this evening, I think in not an effort to water down at all the intent of the policy, there could be a parsing of what the policy is versus what the form is that's used to collect that information and remind the employee that would allow you to streamline this draft.
I will respectfully disagree. This is the law, this is the policy. You're making the employee adhere to this policy. You give him a 3 or 4 page watered down section of the policy. He reads it, he signs off, and then something happens. A lawyer is going to love that because we didn't give him the law, we didn't give him the policy, we gave him an adulterated version of the policy that he has to sign off that I read when he should be reading the policy.
If I could, real quick, Amanda, let's take a look at what you have, because I'm sure the document that you're going to come up with, in theory, the idea is not to give them an out and change something. It's probably going to reference this policy in general as something you will adhere to and then perhaps highlight. But let's take a look at it so we don't, and then we'll have our lawyer look at it, and then we'll decide whether we like the idea. But let's look at it first. I can,
yeah.
Go ahead.
We would do that with the personnel policy that you sign off on and give back that paper, but I mean,
the policy is much longer than what we're signing.
Pages. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Let's get a look at it and maybe we like it. Anything else?
No.
Herbie?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Joe.